Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hi, everyone. Greetings. Hello. Welcome back to The Things You Can't Touch. This is episode 4 of season 2. And we, in fact, have a new guest as usual.
Hello.
I'm going to allow him to introduce himself.
Hi, guys. My name's Fuad. I do different things, but I'm a student. But I'm trying to brand myself as a poet. Yeah, I'm a poet. And specifically, I'm a love poet. I'm a love poet, and I believe everything we do centers around love. So, yeah.
Oh, this is perfect.
That's me.
Yeah, with that being said, I forgot to even say that this week we have, this episode is a special. I call it a special because it is themed for Valentine's Day. And as Fuad fantastically introduced himself, the episode is going to be about love, but you don't know what kind of love, if any love at all. So I guess I ought to just ask you the question now.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm scared. Fuad, this is actually like the question of a lifetime. Mm-hmm. Can everyone fall in love? Wow.
That's a big one.
It's a good one. I think you're not going to agree with me. And I can't wait to have the conversation where we're going to bounce off of each other. So I'm just going to let you answer first before I begin to speak. So what do you think?
I feel like that's a very personal, I take it personally, like one of the main reasons why I call myself the reluctant love poet is because I've had such a interesting relationship with love throughout my life, whether it's like...
I feel like I've never heard that. I'm sorry, like I just interrupted you, but I feel like I've never heard that before, having a relationship with love rather than being in love or out of love, but as you were. Sorry.
Yeah. I see love as a concept. And it's something that you kind of relate to throughout your life in different ways. So whether or not everyone can fall in love, I think as human beings, we have a space within our soul that's like designated for love. And the way you're brought up can result in that space either like being filled up and like, oh yeah, like it's easy for you to call it, like you call it like a river week, or like that space can be shrunken by life experiences. But I think for everyone except people who have like, you know, not mental illnesses, mental differences, let's call it, like everyone has a space for love, therefore everyone can fall in love. It's just a case of like sometimes
because everyone
harder.
Has a space for love.
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
And that's within your soul.
There's a space for love within your soul.
That's what I believe, yeah.
Okay, cool. Like, you've said so much, and there's so much that I want to say based off of what you said. But I need to try and like order everything. But yeah, we already know that there are different types of love. But like, just disclaimer for everyone watching or listening, this is mostly going to revolve around romantic love as opposed to all the other types of love, simply because of the nature of the episode. But based on what you said, I just don't agree. Which is why I asked the question.
Yeah.
Because I just don't think that everyone can fall in love. And the reason why is because I think that to love is a verb, right? It's a doing word. And I feel like being able to do something means that you have the capacity to do something. And I think about love as a form of capacity. And for me, I don't think everyone has the capacity to fall in love. In the same way that not everyone has the capacity to swim, I feel like not everyone has the capacity to fall in love. And what I find very interesting is the way people respond to me when I say things like that. When I say, for me personally, I don't think I can fall in love. I don't think I have the capacity to fall into romantic love with someone. And when I say that, people are like, they're taken aback, they're aghast, they're just really shocked, and they're like, how could you say such a thing? They're literally like, they're revolted by the concept of me saying that. yeah, just like she's not a bit of me. I don't think I can fall in into love. And I think that's because of the way that love is understood and the way that it has been portrayed. Because the way that you started talking about it already is like, why does everyone have to have a little pot in their soul that is just for love? Because if I said everyone has a little pot in their soul that's just for hate or just for disgust, I feel like people would disagree. So it's like, what is it about love? Is it because it's positive that people have like an inclination towards loving the idea of love? Because that's what I think it is. I think it's just a matter of people just romanticizing the concept of love and not because everyone can actually fall in love. Thank you.
That's interesting. There's many things in there. My first question to you is, do you believe there are certain things that all humans share, all human beings share?
That's a good question. When you say things, you mean things or like capacities?
Capacities or concepts or feelings or needs.
Well, physical needs. Like, everyone needs to eat. Everyone needs to sleep. Everyone needs to drink water. So when it comes to physical things, there are physical things that all humans need. But in terms of... No, I don't think there's anything that you need necessarily. I think humans need humans, actually. I think human beings need other human beings, because they must have done like a experiment in the olden days, because like back then there were no boundaries, there was no restrictions on doing anything. So they must have got newborn babies and put them in a box by themselves. They gave them all the water that they needed, they gave them all the food that they needed, so they were physically sustained. However, the babies ended up dying because, and like what they think the reason for that was because they died regardless. And the scientists or like whoever the researchers were think it's because they didn't have any human contact. Because human beings need human beings.
And why do human beings need human beings?
Because I think we need interaction, we need communication, and we just need a sense of being validated by other people. That's what I think it is.
I'm gonna put out a word that I think you've circled around but chose not to use. Human beings need companionship. And you can disagree with me in a second.
Yeah.
I think human beings...
Wait, what is companionship to you? Just so that we can know.
Companionship is existing in spaces with other people who can be a mirror to you. Like, for example, oh, we share the same thing, doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Or sometimes even that person can be very different from you. But human beings need a mirror, someone who they can, you know, like, relate to you on a regular basis.
I agree.
You agree with that? Cool. Then I'm now going to, like... I'm going to question the question, all right? Or your assertion of, like, we're going to talk about romantic love specifically.
Yeah.
To me, romantic love, you can't look at romantic love in a bubble, because romantic love and the ability to feel romantic love stems from how much you love your mum, how much you love your friends, and like how much you love companionship. I think, romantic love is just another... It's like if you had a tree, romantic love is just the cousin... of like friendship, or you know, like familial love, or your love of a thing, or your love of a person. So I think you can't look at them like separately. So to come back to the concept of companionship, and like your belief that like loving is doing, like two lovers to do.
Yeah, I think it's action.
It is definitely an action, and like you, if you're in love with a person, you actively choose to do things that show that you love them.
Yeah.
Right? That show that you love them.
Yeah.
However, to exist in a state of loving someone, it's a state of being, in my opinion.
And you can
love someone and your state. You might not show them, you might not actively like, most people, when this is the romanticizing thing, most people, because they want to show that they love someone, they're going to get them red roses on Valentine's Day.
Can we talk about it? Really quickly.
Yeah.
Because that was even a point that I put in my notes, which is, I don't want to jump. I wanted to say something to what you just said, and now I'm going somewhere else. My mind is scattered because there's just so much that I want to say. But in terms of that, as you said, you brought up the point that I made earlier, which is the romanticization of love. And for me, it's just so... I think, Yeah. Mm. I think human beings are very, very easy to... They're so gullible. They're malleable and easy to control once something becomes a trend. Mm. So on that note, I think that the media, both social media and mainstream media, have purposefully, I'd be whichever the English is now, they have intentionally romanticized the concept and the idea of love.
Mm.
For example, since we've been growing up, what was the biggest, like, cartoon thing that we watched? Disney, I'd be using it, Disney.
Mm.
And in Disney, once you see all of the princesses, they're looking for the love of their life, and they make it so romantic. What do you mean you have to... Is the true love's kiss that is going to wake you up from your coma?
Mm.
It's just stuff like that is just... Since we were born, since we were children, and children, like, it's very easy to feed them stuff that... like, will affect them when they're older.
Mm.
Once you start talk, like, if you started, so much I have to say. If you start talking to, like, older people now, to change their ways is hard. So if they're teaching us stuff like this from infantry, it's easy to make us to believe that, well, love is just this amazing thing that everyone should aspire to, everyone should have, everyone can have, is there for everyone, this, that, and the third, because they've made us believe it. And that's just Disney alone in and of itself. And that's back in the day. Now, when we look at TikTok, everyone has seen on their For You page somewhere, someone has done that thing, booked a hotel room, done the balloons, done the flowers with cake and a couple presents on the bed, and said, happy birthday, babe. And they've romanticized it on TikTok. And now everyone wants to do that for their babe. Mm-hmm. I feel like guys are even going as far as to get into relationships just so that they can have the TikTok experience. I'm not lying. So it's like, when I begin to say, when I start to go against the grain and go against the norm and declare and proclaim that, yeah, not everyone can actually fall in love, people, like, they shock.
Mm.
Because it's so contrary to what they're used to. And the last thing I want to say, because, like, I've spoken for bare long, like, I'm still talking. The last thing that I wanted to say was, I feel like there's an assumption in this conversation that I think that love in and of itself is not possible. I think people can love, but I just feel like the romantic love is not a possibility for everyone. Even, in fact, all forms of love, not everyone can have all forms of love. Where are all the black fathers? Familial love, do they have that?
Do black fathers who leave have familial love?
Yeah.
Is it about for themselves or for the children that they have?
Familial love is, like, for their family, right?
Mm.
Do they have it? Probably not. But yeah, that's not, and no one should, like, assume that I'm just dragging a black man. I'm not. But what, like, what I'm saying is, I don't, like, some guys can't hold a friendship. They don't have, I don't know what love that is, but, like, platonic, I don't know.
Platonic,
but
yeah, yeah.
People, they're different for unconditional love. Not everyone can love unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
Even, like, mothers can grab the baby from the room and scatter their brain on the floor if they really wanted to. Like, not everyone... I'm gonna stop talking now. I just feel like not everyone has the capacity to love, and my emphasis is just on romantic love.
Mm.
Yeah, please speak. Okay. I'm tired of it.
No worries. So firstly, like, you speak about the, like, the external and, like, public, like,
yeah,
visible, you know, the hotel rooms, all these things, the romanticization of love, which, yeah, is, you know, it stems from, like, capitalism, like, yeah, even, like, the concept of, like, buying a diamond. For, like, when you want to marry someone,
yeah,
like, you're spending so much on this rock that, like, what is actually the value of it, all that, yeah, kind of stuff. And I think most of what you said is right. Like, we have been conditioned to believe that this is, like, this goal, this ideal that we must chase. You know, mm-hmm, you must, you know, book a dinner on Valentine's Day. You must get roses. You must do this. You must, yeah, do that. And that, and those things exist. However, that doesn't mean, like, to love someone and to choose to possibly love someone is a negative thing, and doesn't, mm-hmm, mean it's a bad thing.
I agree.
And, like, if you're doing it, if you're doing it for, like, the right reasons, because you want this person, like, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I was in a relationship, and, like, as a man, I'm choosing, okay, cool, on Valentine's Day, I'm gonna do this, and this for my girl. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I might not care for Valentine's Day. In truth, I don't really care for Valentine's Day. but I'm still gonna do those things, because I know the person I am with wants to feel that. Whether that stems from good or bad,
mm-hmm,
that's your own. But because I love you more, because I love you more than, you know, wanting to, you know, subvert normality,
Yeah.
I'm going to do this thing for you.
Yeah.
And like, we can then work on it. Like, it might be like in, let's say we're to go for 10 years. 10 years time, like, you might be like, oh, fantastic, I don't care. And it will do what matters to us.
Yeah.
But right now in this moment, I love you more than choose, like, than like wanting to subvert like this, oh, capitalism, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So there's levels to it, and like there's progression that can happen towards like you doing things for yourself over time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't necessarily think the whole romanticization of love and stuff like that, it's a bad thing as long as you're doing it correctly. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
To move on to like the thing about you said about like, you know, the black fathers who leave, they must not love them.
No one drags me for that. It was just an example.
I hear it. I think those men leave for crazy number of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And women leave for a crazy number of reasons.
Equality.
I think those like for example, like my dad, right? Mm-hmm. My biological dad.
Does your dad still exist in your life?
My biological dad has actually passed away like 5 years ago. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah, but like I never knew
really
him.
Sorry. Okay, right. You never knew him.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I'm really sorry.
Yeah. No, it's fine. So, with my dad, like my mom's spoken about him a couple of times,
mm-hmm.
And I kind of like, I have an understanding of the type of person he was.
Yeah.
So as a son, even though I never met the guy,
yeah,
like internally I always wanted to like meet him and like, you know, show him who I was.
Yeah.
I never got to do that because he passed away before I met him.
Yeah.
Cool. Yes. From the other side, I actually have a poem called to the 10-year-old boy who waited for a father who'd never come.
Oh, glad you're right, and it's just so beautiful.
And then I wrote an like a response to that poem, called "To the Father Who Never Came," like just trying to understand, like why. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it is like in that moment, like this guy has kind of done something, and like boom bang, you know, there's a baby, and he wasn't ready to develop this concept of family.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe because he didn't have a strong concept of family himself, and you know, maybe he's currently going through like depression, like all of the things like that life kind of throws on you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in this moment you don't have the ability to kind of care for something, and your actions, like when you're acting, you weren't acting like, okay, cool, I'm ready to develop family, and like that's okay, and people might necessarily have a strong sense of family.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, you might have a very low kind of understanding of that based on your upbringing.
Yeah.
However, like, take that same person and put them in a different situation. Like, if you take my dad, right, and you put him in a loving, caring family and, like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, he might then come to the same point in his life, right, where, like, a woman comes to him and says, yo, I'm pregnant, and he might be over the moon. That doesn't mean he wasn't capable of having familial love, just that in the moment, based on the circumstances that led him to this point, he wasn't feeling it. And like, do you understand what I'm saying? Like, in my initial definition, of like, it depends on everything that happened before. However, that same person, I believe anyway, obviously this is all like hypothetical.
Yeah. Yeah.
That same person, I believe, if they were presented with a really strong sense of familial love and like the concept of familial love was ingrained into them from young, that same person might be over the moon, find out they got a son.
Okay.
I don't know if that makes sense. But
I hear it. I think I hear it. Okay, so look, is what you're trying to say, the issue is context?
Yeah, and like context of the upbringing of the person. Yeah, like society defines how we relate, how we react to a situation at a specific time.
Okay.
It doesn't mean that part of his soul doesn't exist. Okay. Right. It just means that at that time, it was so underdeveloped. Like it's the same like way that you have a guy, serial cheater, doesn't care for his girl. Cheating every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
3 years later, that same guy might be in a loving, committed relationship. Like, do you know what I mean? It just depends on where you are in that moment.
Yeah. Okay.
And for you, Eden, I believe that you might meet someone one day.
I was waiting for this to happen.
You might meet someone like, raw, like, damn. Do you know what I mean? And like, And you speak based on your current context.
Yeah.
Right?
The and current.
Exactly. The current like context situation. Yeah. Like, and you don't know whether 5 minutes or 5 years from now,
yeah,
you're gonna be in the same room with someone and like, wow, like, this, I think it could be really easy to love this person. Mm. And once you kind of find that ease, then like, you'll be converted.
Conversion is crazy. I understand.
Uh-huh.
What I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just something that is just not sitting right with me still. I don't know what it is. Because I'm still adamant. Because despite your explanation, which was a really, really good one, I get it. Depending on the circumstances, someone can have the ability to do something. So, like, with the example of swimming that I gave,
mm-hmm.
not everyone can swim. But if the minute you were born, in fact, you were born in a pool like that, you were trained since you were born to swim, there's no way for you to not know how to swim, yeah. right?
Unless you're, like, disabled to the point where you can't.
But even at that, someone with no arms and no legs, yeah, maybe they can float. Would they ever be able to swim, though? I guess someone can argue that they can get, like, prosthetics and yeah. then they can swim. But, God, let me not get but cancelled.
Even to save you.
Before I started saving, that all not to save.
Even to, like, just yeah. on that point, like, my very first response to your question is that I believe everyone has to da-da-da-da-da, and, like, except people who are born with stuff like psychopathy and, like, all that kind of stuff. Like, that is a form of mental...
So,
yeah.
You're saying I'm a psychopath, I have a mental illness.
I literally just said.
Okay, that's fair. Ooh.
So that's indirect, like, response.
Am I just
to, like,
a hater?
A little bit. But that's okay. That's okay.
Maybe I'm just a hater.
You're still learning. And you're still growing.
Is, do you know what it is? I don't think I'm a hater. No one should call me a hater. I shouldn't even call myself a hater. Because when I see romantic love, I love it. Genuinely.
Mm.
A couple of my friends are in relationships. And I literally, like, I'm in the relationship with you, if you like. I love it for you so much. Mm. It's so beautiful to me.
You just don't see that for yourself.
Yeah. I just don't see it for, like, it's not necessary for everyone to be able to fall in love. But that is not to say that I don't want to grow up and get married and have kids and have a family. I feel like I can absolutely get married.
But you won't love the person.
I just won't be in love.
Mm.
And
so why do you want to...
That is such a jump scare statement.
Why do you want to...
For a lot of people. Why do I want
to... Why do you want to...
Tradition, culture.
Mm.
And also, companionship, as you said. I want a companion in the same way that other people want a companion. But I just feel like it's not going to be any different to me having a really close... really intimate best friend.
And what is the distinction between like loving someone romantically, you know,
yeah,
and love having a really deep, really intimate best friend? What is your distinction of that?
That's a really, really good question that you asked me. do you know what it is? I don't know. Yeah.
Actually, let me I'm gonna, like, try and answer my own question.
Okay, yeah, please do.
Speaking as you,
yeah.
I believe, right, when you think about being, like, romantic love, I believe mm-hmm. that you see this idea that you kind of, like, alluded to earlier about mm-hmm. this, like, you know, like, the roses and the guitar, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I believe
all the physical stuff.
Exactly. I believe, like, all the external stuff is what you believe as, like, this is what romantic love looks like.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And as such, when you are presented with a situation where you have a really deep, really intimate best friend, you mm-hmm. don't, like, that can't be romantic love. That's my boy.
So, yeah.
And I think that's just based on what you think romantic love should be. But really and truly, like, if you ever get there, and I really hope you do get there, you're in love.
It's sentences like that. Why? Why?
Why?
Why do you want that for me so much? Like, I don't get it.
I can answer that question. Why? Because to love is one of the most beautiful things that a human being can ever feel. And I say that as someone...
I just don't agree.
Huh?
I said I just don't agree. But please, finish your sentence.
And I say that, again, like, going in this concept of this little section of your soul, like, mm-hmm. fulfilling that aspect of yourself.
Yeah.
And, like, bro, like, okay, another goal that I have is to be able to make enough money so that my kids and my kids' kids are good. Right? If I ever reach that, if I ever reach that point, like I'm gonna have such a strong sense of fulfillment.
Yeah.
Because I love my family and my kids.
I thought you were gonna say I love money because I was gonna say I agree. Sorry about that. Yeah. As you
were. That's fair enough. That's okay as well. Yeah. But like I love money because of what it can, the opportunities it can create for the people that I care about.
Yes.
And that's a strong sense of fulfillment. Now, to love someone and to be in love and to have that moment where, like, they said, oh, my heart skipped the beat. Bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
what? Like, come on. And I love you more than words can compare. Like, care for yourself.
Guys.
Sorry, as you were.
I'm going to tell you this, like, for a fact. Like, feeling, like, raw, like, this person is, like, you know, the other side of me, my mirror, that feeling, even though, like, it is dramatized, and if you read my poetry, I am very dramatic.
And I love that kind of thing.
Yeah. Like, I dramatize, like, all the feelings, but it stems from this raw, like, visceral, I love that word, visceral emotion. Yeah. Google it. Like, that visceral emotion of, like, being seen and feeling like this is a companion and this is a person that, you know, it feels right. And I think all of those, you know, my heart skipped a beat, all that kind of thing stems from them trying to express that feeling to the world. And yes, it is like, ugh, but it is mega corny, but I think the first person who wrote it was being so real. Yeah.
That's fine. The thing is, what I want to do is not just sit here and just be a wall. I want to be a sponge. I want to take in what you have to say. I don't want to just like be hard headed. But I'm still struggling. And we do have, I don't even know how long we've been talking for, but hopefully we have enough time for me to change the trajectory of my ideology. But. No, though, yeah, because I'm happy in the fact that I feel like I won't be in love, but like I feel like we still didn't answer your question though, as like what is the difference between me having just a really good, really close best friend who I'm gonna spend the rest of my life with, and me being in love romantically, and do you know what it is? Maybe it's fear. Maybe I'm scared.
Of.
Committing, because I feel like to love truly, to love romantically, like in a true and as you said, raw sense, it has to be 100%. It has to be holistic. That's what I think it is. I think you have to give up your whole mind, your whole body, and your whole identity to the other person. Not necessarily give it away and get rid of it, but share it wholeheartedly. And for me, it's like, I'm actually a really sensitive person in a sense that broken friendships can break me. A friendship doesn't work out, I don't ever want to have friends ever again. Like, genuinely, because I don't want to give anyone the opportunity to do something like that to me. It's not fair. Like, someone can literally rip my heart out of my body and I'm giving you that opportunity. No. I think that's what it is. And I think because of that mental block that I have, it just makes me to not be able to want that for myself and then to not be able to execute that. So maybe you're right. Maybe everyone is born with the ability and the capacity to love, but that's also a different philosophical debate, tabula rasa, things of that nature, whether we're born a blank slate or whether we're born with inherent qualities, namely being in love. But yeah, as I said, I think it's just a sense of fear that can really stop me from thinking that I can fall in love romantically. So just to create a parallel, an example, if someone has like a really, really huge fear of open water, they will argue that I will never be able to get in a ship and like voyage into the ocean. And they can't.
I have so many objections.
I really thought like I ate something there.
I'll go into the main crux of your argument in a second.
Yeah.
But just with the example of that person.
The ocean?
Yeah. Okay. That they, you know, they believe they can't ever, you know,
grow. Yeah, because they're literally scared.
No.
Okay.
All right. Imagine that person. Oh, my God. Sorry.
Yeah.
Let me just tighten this. Give me a sec. Yeah. Imagine that person is a black person living in Africa in the 1800s or something. The white man come. You get put in a cage and put on a ship. You get put in a cage and put on a ship. And now you are on the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
You might be in your cage shivering.
And scared, terrified.
Terrified.
But like someone forced you.
Yeah, but you're on the water.
Onto the...
So yeah. Now, if that person, when they were landed, like, yeah, I can never do this. Yeah, you can. You just haven't been faced with the circumstances that one forces. Is that?
I really want her to go away. Okay, begin. Be healed.
Did you want to say something?
I can finish this point.
Yeah, like, yeah, you can. You just haven't been faced with the circumstances that mean that you doing this thing that you believed that you couldn't do.
Yeah.
Became inevitable.
So you emphasize believed.
Yeah.
As if to say
past
like,
tense. Yeah. Like your belief. Not a truth, your belief, like, yeah, your belief doesn't necessarily always reflect reality. And the reason why I say that is
because... So you said I'm delusional. I'm crazy. I don't know what I'm talking about.
If the shoe fits. Wait. If the shoe actually fits, what can I say?
I ought to wear it, right? Fairs.
Yeah. Elizabeth, you want to...
And you know what I don't like that you do?
Wait! Can you not say your face? What about coming from my neck?
You compare, like, physical capacities to the capacity to love, which to some extent...
She out-philosophizes me right now. I can't lie. Can I hear that? Yeah.
Analogy works sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like...
Mm-hmm.
Brush and edge, like the example about like not having limbs, like I just feel like that was a bad example. But to follow on from this example,
yeah,
about being forced into the ocean, and you have to swim. With what we might said, I feel like in your brain a bit,
mm-hmm.
like perhaps you think that the action of loving, before people engage with the action, they like mentally prepare. And they like practice the same way you would practice before you learn how to swim, or like they prepare themselves, they ready themselves.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like, sorry to be corny, but you don't. Lot of the time, like, genuine love does like hit people like a drug. Like, they're not always anticipating it. They might be like you, thinking love like it will never be my portion. It's not. I'm not looking for love. And then bam.
Okay.
One day, the love of their life just comes, and like they just fall in love. So it's not like a thing that like, people are just like waiting on the road, waiting to meet love.
Yeah. Even on that, like, I think I'm not gonna take away from your stance and your point of view, because loving someone and like giving
very
yourself
much, yeah.
is so scary. It's a terrifying thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like for you to be scared of that thing is so normal. And like it's
mm-hmm.
because like you said, like you're literally giving this person
everything.
So much power.
Over you.
And it's terrifying. It's a terrifying thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
However, like Elizabeth said, like love often sneaks up on you. Like you might have known someone for like your entire life, and like, oh, raw, like I think I'm in love with this person. So it's not this. You don't have to take an exam to
mm-hmm.
be in love. I actually used to like think like you need to practice. Da, 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 da. Yes, you should like when you. Get to meet someone and okay, cool, I want to love this person. You should take your time to understand them, understand
mm-hmm.
what makes like life better for them,
mm-hmm.
and like practice, you know, the things they need. However, you existing in a state of being in love with this person isn't something that you shouldn't have to practice. Like real love, I believe, should be easy. It should be easy to exist in a state of love.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the person that you are in love with is rubbish, they can continue to take away your patience and like they can, you know, make your love hard and feels
hard. What if I'm the rubbish one?
Well, if you're the rubbish one, if you love someone and you're the rubbish one, then it's on you to like, if you actually care enough about this person, you have to work on that, you have to improve that, and you have to communicate.
So what happened to love not being an exam? That's given very much exam. It's given very much test. It's given very much
wait, so you're misunderstanding me, right?
Okay, maybe I'm intentionally
doing that. I said existing in love.
Yeah.
Is not an exam. Loving, as in the verb of loving,
to love.
is a constant state of learning, improving, trying things, experimenting.
Yeah.
And those two things are different. And if you want to be a good lover, right, you need to do these things.
Yeah.
But to exist in a state of being in love.
If you want to be good at doing anything, to some degree, you have to practice.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. And also, on the point that you said, great, Elizabeth. you're right. I did actually write that down as a note, which is, love, like, the way I speak about it as a very, very human, like, physical thing, rather than an arbitrary emotion.
No.
Because love is more of an emotion than a thing. And to me, I think everyone can feel every emotion. So
how can you come here and be like, people can't love?
Yeah, like, that's my point. I'm disagreeing with myself now. I'm allowed to do that. I'm just explaining my thought process. So if we count love as an emotion, which many people do, then yeah, everyone has the ability to feel the emotion. However,
what she said.
No, but like, don't agree. However, the issue now is remaining in that state of emotion. Do you see? Do you know what it is? Do you know what it is?
I'm sure about to find out.
Oh, let me tell you what it is. I have too high an expectation for love. What do you call it? You know when I have like high
expectations? Standards.
My standards for love are too high.
Mm.
I think that's what it is. Because if someone asks me now, like, do you think you can be happy? Or like, if I ask someone, like, do you think you can be happy? They're like, maybe in a few years, if they're like chronically depressed. maybe in a few years, yeah, maybe I'll get there and I'll be able to be happy. And it's like, if I were to ask anyone, like, do you think you can be sad? I'm pretty sure everyone in the whole world would be like, yeah, absolutely. Mm. I have the ability to be sad. But I think I'm just so rigid with the idea of love and what I want love to be, because in my head, oh my gosh, I flipped the script on myself. No, because do you know what it is? I said that love has been so romanticized, and I think I've romanticized love to the extent to which I feel like it has to be 100% and it has to be perfect at all points, that I feel like it's so unattainable. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, like,
I feel like that was like, that right there was a revelation. Mark the minute. Revelation.
Yeah. Like, yeah. As you're speaking, I was thinking, like, you're essentially perpetuating, like, the very things that you hate about the way love is, like, is perceived. And that's not your fault. That's not your fault because, like, you know, you've read all the books, you've watched the movies, and you see the TikToks, and, like, you know, like, you see your, like, that's not our fault. And, but like to touch on that whole idea of like the 100% love, like, we know this concept of like life is a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah.
Like, I'm also an athlete. but like if you're running a marathon.
Yeah.
Right. When you start out, and I'm gonna introduce the parallel immediately. If you fall in love with someone, like, oh my gosh, this person is amazing. Like, I have all of the energy in the world. There's no such thing as lactic acid in my body right now.
Yeah.
I'm running. Where in long distance running, you have this concept of the wall. The wall is something like every athlete hits when the marathon is, where you generally feel like you cannot continue.
Yeah.
Right? True marathon runners, they overcome the wall. However, when you reach this point, your energy levels are so depleted. Your body, your brain is telling you, like, stop, bro, stop. Like, can't do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you overcome it. And then there'll be periods of time in the marathon where you're like, oh, yeah, I've got this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's say, like, there's a part of the marathon that's downhill, right? You go a little bit faster. You can up a little bit slower. Love is the same. Okay, there is no constant trajectory of life.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? You first fall in love, it's amazing. Your guy's on 100%. Okay, let's say your partner gets laid off. Now you have to be like supporting everyone. It's hard.
Wait, so
it's,
your partner gets laid off?
As in, like, they lose their job.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry. I'm just getting rid of the partner. Sorry.
As in, they lose their job. Now you have to support everyone. Like, life is stressful, okay? Let's say, like, because of that stress, you know, your love for this person, like, let's say they're not doing what they need to, like, they just sat at home, they're being bummy. Your love for that person might decrease da 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 da. Let's say, for example, they cheated on you, or you cheated on them, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, the level of love in the relationship can diminish, you know.
Yeah.
And let's say this person just has a miraculous change, and they really make an effort, da 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 da, yes, and things get better. You're going downhill now. Things are getting a bit faster.
Easier,
and
yeah,
like, you just keep going, keep going, keep going, and like, there's ups and downs exist. And I say this, it's taken me so long to truly understand and internalize this concept, because mm-hmm. I actually share a lot of your feelings of like fear, mm-hmm. of like, but how can I love someone for such a long time?
Yeah.
How can I exist in love for someone for such a long time?
Mm-hmm.
But what I've begun to tell myself is that like if you wake up one day and you're like, oh, I just want to be alone, that's okay. And like, if you put it to your friends as well, like, you could have a friend like, yeah, you're gonna be my friend for life, but they might like piss you off and you might get in a fight, mm-hmm. and it doesn't mean you don't love them anymore. You mm-hmm. might love them less in that moment,
mm-hmm.
but they might bring something to your yard, like, I don't know, whatever it is you enjoy, and like, yeah. Oh yeah, that's my guy again.
Yeah,
why is being in love any different, or why do you think being in love is any different?
It's because of exactly what I said earlier, actually. That's what I realized,
because
if I was 1% sad, I would say, yeah, I have the ability to be sad.
Mm.
But if, because I'm sure I felt 1% of love for someone,
mm.
romantic love for someone, somewhere along the 20 years of the life that I've lived. Oh my God, I'm 20. You're 20. But it's a thing where I just think, well, up until this point, what I have thought is, if you're not at 100% of loving, then you're not doing it right, and you're not doing it at all. But the truth is, you can be at 2%, you can be at 10%, 50%, 75%, or
100%.
Mm. Can she silence herself? I don't want to hear her.
Yeah. No, I think on that, like, we human beings, I was watching a video, because I met a guy called David Larby recently. He's, like, one of my favorite guys. Yeah.
I
don't know who he is. He's so lit. Like, he's so lit. Everyone sends me to... Yeah. I got to, like, have a really long conversation with him.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he's talking about this concept of negativity bias.
Yeah. Here we go.
Which is basically like what you were saying, like, 1% sadness is sadness, but 1% happiness is not happiness.
It's not happy.
And as human beings, we have this
negativity bias.
Yeah. And which is so weird, because like, I believe that, well, at least most people at some point in their life, like, I just want to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely like that. But for some reason, we latch onto the negative so much.
Yeah.
So much.
It's so easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, if you want to have a good life, you need to be aware of that, mm-hmm. and actively work against it. And like, David has a podcast where his whole thing is like, you know, positive self-talk, like removing the negative bias as often as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you start to like peel away that negativity, you realize like, okay, you know, this bad thing happened in this moment. However, I gained so much mm-hmm. from it. And that is how you have a good and positive life, and it's the same thing with love, you know.
Yeah, I think I'm just stubborn. I don't think it's a thing where I or anyone else who thinks the way I thought at the beginning of this episode can't fall in love, or don't have the physical capacity or mental capacity or any capacity to do so. I think I just don't want to at the moment.
Why?
I think that's what it is. Because as I said, it's just too scary.
Mm.
So maybe in the future I'll get to work on myself, whatever,
mm.
And that will change. But the episode is not over. I want to change the trajectory of what we're saying a little tiny bit. There are two things that I want to say. Which one should I start with? I'm going to start with the one I'm about to say. do you think, because us sitting here right now,
mm-hmm.
microphones, equipment,
mm-hmm.
like roof over our head, I'm sure when you leave, you're going to, like, have a meal, have some food.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think our concept of love is just really, really westernized? Let me explain. I feel as though in other parts of the world, unless this is just really, really ignorant of me, because this might just be a really ignorant claim, and if it is, I do apologize. I just feel like in other parts of the world, even like Nigeria, I'm Nigerian, you're Nigerian, I think love is not at the forefront. Mm. And you don't have to fall in love. I think there are other greater issues at hand. Passing on your father's name, for one. Like, guys are probably out here just getting married so that they can have children. I said that they had children. I said that they pass on the heritage. Because where I'm from, my tradition, my culture, if you don't have kids, that's a curse.
Mm.
So I just feel like in the world that we're living in now, the concept of love is just so, it's just so Western. Mm. And it's like, is that real? Is that truly love? And like, do we have to fall in love in the way that we've made it seem? Like, does love have to be the love that we think it is now? Or, yeah, have we just westernized it? Yeah, I'm just going around in circles now asking.
Yeah, no, I hear the question. I think the way we conceptualize love is very westernized. Mm. And that's true.
Yeah.
But like, when you talk about like, you know, are there bigger things that, you know, we should be discussing?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can ever, to me anyway, I don't think love is this, it shouldn't be groupthink. I think when you were talking about like, okay, but what do you desire? You know, like, what is important to you? Like, mm-hmm. for me, it's important to feel a sense of companionship. Da, da, da. Yeah. Yes, you know, like having kids and partner, my name is important. Da, 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 da. And like, that is also a goal. But yeah. I don't have to be like, oh, I have to get married to pass my father the name, despite me not like loving someone. I think I'm very individualistic in the way I like, view it. Like, I'm not going to marry someone because, I don't know, they have a lot of money and they could help set my kids up if I don't. Mm-hmm. care about them. Obviously, there are a lot of people who are put in positions where they feel like they don't have the choice.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Yeah.
Do you think that, because you said you're very individualistic,
mm-hmm.
but that just brings me back to the initial point. Do you think that's just because you're in a privileged position?
Yeah,
to say
I am
that?
Very, I am very privileged to say yeah. that. I am very privileged to say that.
Because some people don't have the opportunity to say that I am gonna get married for love. Anything else. Mm-hmm. Some people need to get married because, like, they have no other choice.
Yeah. And, like, it's not even that far away. Like, even some of our parents' parents have kind of, like, dealt with this.
Like, you know, like, that is dabbling into the next aspect of this conversation, but, like, we'll get there.
Yeah. I've had to deal with... However, existing in a space where you feel loved and you feel like you're in love and this is right for you should always still be the goal. You might not achieve that goal, but like, I don't see it as like that being your reality shouldn't take away, you know, loving and like being like in fulfillment. That shouldn't take away from that being your goal.
Yeah, but like, what if that's just like, they've like, it's just not a thing at all? It can't be your goal if you don't know what it is. Do you know what I mean? Because like, do you think that it's possible? I don't know, because you know, I'm in the West. I don't know if I'm speaking out of ignorance or like what, but what if the concept of our concepts, our understanding here of romantic love just literally doesn't exist in other parts of the world?
Yeah, I'm trying to like imagine spaces where that like doesn't exist. Like even if you look at, you know, Nigerian societies and like these very cultural...
Even like indigenous ones, you know, like indigenous... groups of people who like you can't even find them because they just like they're just so far removed from the world. They're just in and of themselves. They don't like the technology, they're not after like things like that. Do they have our understanding of romantic love?
Yeah, they won't have our understanding of like romantic love in terms of like the way you do love, but is like as in the way you like actively do love.
You're right.
But the understanding of I love this person, and you can love multiple people. Like, obviously, like, what's the word when you're always one person, monogamy. Like, even monogamy is a very westernized concept, and like, you can be in a polygamous marriage and love everyone. You might love them equally, but you still like. So, the way they do and actively externally do the love is often fundamentally different. But again, because I believe love is intrinsic, you know, the driving force is universal. That's my opinion. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Wow. After this episode, the two of you knock your heads together because you're pissing me off. But yeah, it makes a sense. The sense is being made. Yeah, because that was just one thing that crossed my mind as of recent. Are we just like, we're just doing a lot? Because that's what I felt like. Because we just are in a position to have time to do a lot. Like, people wake up in the morning, like, to get their daily bread, they need to work the whole day. No one has time for flowers, pan a bed, in a hotel room. Guys don't even have hotel rooms.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Then, like, in situations like that, love is getting up and doing the work because your kids got to eat. That's the love. The love is doing the work, you know? Like, it exists in different ways, but it's still the same feeling. And that's why I challenged your initial question about, like, you know, like, we're going to focus on romantic love, because love is everything as a human being, even hate, in my opinion, is born it's a form from of love. Yeah.
Ooh.
Like, that's genuinely what I believe. Like,
can we unpack that really quickly?
I
feel like, okay, because I don't want to project or assume what you mean by that. So I'm going to let you say what you mean by that before I tell you what I think you mean, or if I agree.
I think you can look at it in different ways, but if I was to use an example, so let's say, for example, I don't know, someone punched me in the face, and I'm like, Chris is using this example.
I was gonna say it's always punching guys in the face.
Okay, let's change it. Okay, let's say someone stole my money.
Yeah.
Someone stole my money. I'm like, oh, I hate you. Why would you do that to me? There's instances of love in that thing. For example, the love of the money and what it can do for you.
Yeah.
Cool. The love of your security, that your things aren't taken away, and the love of, like, your belief that you have good judgment of a person.
Yeah.
If it's someone who you cared about previously, that rubbed you. So, like, love is laced into every single thing we do, and like, if you were to, like, peel away all of the extra stuff, you see it there. Mm-hmm. Because let's say, for instance, like, you didn't love the money and someone took your money.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you care? Let's say, for instance, you didn't love the security that your money is yours. Why would you care?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you didn't care about that person. Why would you care? You know?
Yeah.
And that whole emotion of hate is based on the foundations of that love.
I agree. Because when you said it, what I thought was that the only way for people to hate truly and passionately is because they cared.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Like, in order for someone, like, you can't hate someone that you don't know.
Yeah.
You can't really hate someone that didn't do nothing.
Mm.
And if a stranger did something terrible to me, I couldn't care less, actually. Because, like, I don't know you. You can do what you want. Maybe I will hate the action. Maybe to some degree I won't like them very much. But it's a thing where I'm not going to ever see you again. But if it's, like, someone that's really close to me, that, like, completely, like, did the biggest, fattest violation, like, the hatred that I will have comes from a place of, like, I liked you so much, though.
Mm.
Like, I literally loved you. Why would you do that to me?
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a beautiful sentence. I really liked it a lot.
Thank you
for sharing. The final thing that I wanted to say, you kind of touched on it, is, like, quite is it intergenerational, is that what I want to say? Sometimes I think when I see the TikToks and the way that my generation behaves in displaying love, I think about My parents watch my videos, so I don't want them to think that I'm talking to them or about them. But I don't think about my parents in and of themselves necessarily, but I think about their generation and the generation that came before them. And it's like, I don't see them giving each other flowers. I don't see them booking hotels and doing TikTok balloons and, you know, and all that stuff. And it's like, in my head, this is not about my parents, by the way. In my head, it was just like, do they love each other, though? Or are they just, like, together for the reasons that I mentioned earlier? Because we live in the UK, we know where we're from. I was actually not even born in this country, for example. So they came straight from culture, straight from pure, rich tradition. So it's like, do they love each other, or are they just married for the vibes, for the tradition, for the culture? And again, is that just really Western and really ignorant of me to think? Because I don't see them, is it even ageist at that? Because I don't see them behaving in the way that my age mates behave when it comes to love. I just spoke a lot. I don't really know if that was
a question. That made a lot of sense.
Do you see?
What I realized from quite young is that a lot of our parents, not my parents either. Me though. I don't know who said it, innit? A lot of these people don't love each other.
Thank you for saying that, because, like, I thought I was delusional.
A lot of them don't love each other, and you can see it in the things they do, in the amount of care they show.
Yeah, you can see it. Yeah.
You can see that.
Generational issues for the children as well, because they don't love each other.
Exactly. Yeah. And you can see a lot, like 30% of the reason that they're together is because it seemed okay at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Another 20% is, oh, I'm pregnant. Yeah. Oh, we must do this thing now. Yeah. And then you get like some of it is like, and the reason why they stay together as well after like getting married is half the, generally like half the time is because this person has impregnated this person.
Yeah.
And the reason they stay together is like, oh, I care so much about my children, therefore I cannot leave you.
She's hitting her nail on the head. Like, you're really, that's making sense.
Yeah, therefore I cannot leave you. Even though half the time it hurts the kids more for them to stay together than for them to separate.
Yes.
Oftentimes I feel like they're emulating what they've seen done before. Your parents were probably in a loveless marriage as well.
Yeah.
But what did you take away from that?
A loveless marriage.
Our generation has a level of, not to say that our parents' generation doesn't have emotional intelligence, but our generation so much love to like intellectualize things and like go deep and good.
Your trauma.
At least one thing that is profitable from that is that I feel like we're like, okay, that does not bang. We cannot do what our parents are doing. Why do they do that?
Just answer. I think we, again, this comes to like the point of privilege. Like, we are so privileged because we have the exposure. We've seen bad marriages, we've seen good marriages, we've seen good parenthood, we've seen bad parenthood. We've seen so much like difference, and oftentimes everyone in their village was in a loveless marriage, so they don't have a conception of what the alternative is. So we have just been privileged to see all of these things, I believe anyway. I feel like that's often the huge factor. Like, what do you mean you're gonna divorce my man because he wasn't treating you right?
That's not divorce.
We don't do, my mom is like, we don't do divorce.
That's what he's saying. We were even in church. What was it that they were saying? What was the bar that they were spitting? God doesn't like divorce. And like, it's like, God doesn't like divorce and stuff like that. You know how religious.
How do you know?
You know how religious that the generations are. If someone declares such a statement as God doesn't like divorce, you ought not to divorce. And it's just not a good look in general. But that even brings me on to saying, they could flip it. They could be looking at us as being like, what are these children doing? Like, what is all that? Because on one hand, the way that we act as a generation when it comes to love and relationships is very, very toxic. But that is a conversation for another day.
I think it can be toxic. I don't think it is toxic. I think it can be toxic. And I think that same sentence, can be easily reflected in the way our parents react. So that distinction doesn't, for me anyway.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I agree. But I hear it. I think, do you know what it is?
What is it?
Let me say my other point. My other point is that I think what we're trying to do, which we don't realise that we're trying to do, but we are doing, I think we're doing it. Mm-hmm. I think we're breaking a generational curse. It's finally happening. I think something is shifting. Because even in when I see the Nigerian TikToks, the way that they talk about relationships, guys are not just out here talking about relationships for the sake of it. They actually want someone. Yes, some Nigerian girls, you know, they just want the money, and that is fine. That is love to them. But it's changing. And I think with our generation, it's changing. But do you know what it is? The reason why I say it's toxic is because I don't think we can change and get it right the first time. I think the environment that we're creating is a changed environment from what our ancestors have created for us. But I think we're trying. We're not there yet. We're getting there. But right now, it is quite toxic. And if we do it in percentages, I think it's more toxic than not. So I understand why you'll say it can be toxic. I think rather it cannot be toxic, but it is. But you can disagree. And I'll understand if you disagree.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah. My objection with your statement is that it's so universal. And again, I think very individual. Fair. Like, not every single person our age in a relationship is in a toxic relationship. Far from it.
I don't know what I think anymore. Okay, just finish so I can get my...
Yeah, so like, I feel like you can take things that you've seen, or again, your upbringing and like the context of you as a person, and you can then go into a toxic relationship. So it can be toxic. It isn't inherently toxic to be in a relationship at this age, in my opinion.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yes. I think it's about how they got there and what they want from the relationship. And I think my mind, because I don't have a lot of friends, so I don't talk to a lot of people. So that is to say that what I get from any type of relationship is just like mediaized. It's in the media. Mm. So therefore, it's very easy. Like, a lot of media relationships to me personally, I think it's toxic. But
I was just saying, why is that relationship in the media in the first place?
Because it's toxic. So
I think you have a small sample size.
Just clap me for that one, because that's exactly what I was gonna say. Yeah, the sample size that I have, because I already acknowledge the fact that I get friends too tough. Like, I don't have that many friends, so therefore my observation. And do you know what it is? Like, even the small number of friends, that the relationships that I've seen to me are not toxic at all. I like them. As I said, I'm in the relationship with you. Yes, I'm there. But yeah, from what I've seen on TikTok and social media, I think it is toxic. So. Yeah, I've spoken enough. I think the point has been, I think we get the general point of what I'm saying. Mattia.
Can I ask a question?
No.
Yes.
I don't like it at all.
Because you know, like, okay, the example of, like, the older people's generation, and I feel like a lot of them, like, they just tolerate the situation they're in and they get by.
Yeah.
For the kids and for security,
yeah, etc.
Yeah. And I feel like they could do that with any, I feel like you could substitute different men or different women into that equation, it would still work. Like, I feel like some people, the marriage they're in, it does not, it's not because that person is special. It could be anyone and it would make it work. So, do you think that, like, that kind of environment still has the capacity to produce love? Like, do you feel like in those seemingly loveless marriages, there's still, like, potential for love? Like, do you feel like they can grow into love over time?
My answer is yes. There you go.
What is love?
What is love?
He's an. I think understanding the comprehending what love is will allow me to answer that question. I don't know. I feel like that's too big of a question right now. My head is like, I've gone on a journey. My head is with me. But to answer, I feel like the old me would say no, but the new me. the me that has come from this conversation will say, yeah, man.
Yeah.
Not my parents,
but yeah.
Yeah, I think you can grow into love. And like, we see it happen in like movies as well.
But it is just a movie. So.
But movies reflect real life 97.5% of the time.
Okay, fair.
like, it's rare for you to enter a loveless marriage and develop love 15 years later. It's rare.
Yeah,
but I think it is possible, because when you spend so much time with a person, two things develop: resentment or love. Or apathy, if you want to add a third thing. Yeah. But I think it's difficult to stay apathetic to a person that you are constantly
around.
Yeah. And I think most of the time we see resentment develop amongst our parents, even though they don't always show it to us. Like, you can begin to love the way someone relates to your daughter. Like, oh, I love that you did that, you know. And by extension, the more you do that, I love you.
Anyway, hi everyone. Thank you for listening to this episode. Thank you for watching all the way to the end. I hope you really enjoyed the conversation. I feel like I was laughing. Everyone else was laughing. But like, this is my outro. I'm just gonna have to hold it like that. That's it. I hope you guys join us in the next episode. The next episode ought to be as good, even greater than this one.
I don't think it will for you.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay, thanks.
No. There's nothing greater than love.
That's period.
Doesn't matter what you're talking about next. It's just gonna be an aspect of love. And that's okay.
The fact that this is your whole identity.
That's okay, man. It's so beautiful okay.
to me. I like that. You're actually so true to the topic and you're true to your words. Yeah, if you guys haven't watched all the other episodes, you're weirdo. If you're not here for the next episode, you're weirdo. If you didn't watch this episode completely, you're weirdo. If you could just drop your Instagram and your TikTok and things of that nature.
I am Mr. Pussoir on everything. That's MrBusoir. And in my poetry stuff, it's called The Reluctant Love Poet. So you can find me on there as well.
Why didn't I know this?
It's new.
Okay.
Yeah.
I ought to like follow instantly. Fuad's writing is fantastic. It is amazing. His performance style is equally as good, if not better. Yeah. Just make sure to head over to his socials and do the right things. I will see you guys in the next episode. And if I don't, as I said, you're a weirdo. Bye.